those that minister the word. Now, Father, we pray for Pastor John as he brings forth your word here today. We pray that you would anoint it, Lord, that you would bless it, that there would be power that would be spoken through it. And Lord, that we would take that word and we would apply it and walk it out. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was only fitting that we prayed and talked about the storms. I was thinking about that this week because it seems like no matter what day it is, it doesn't matter what season, what day, what time of the year, all you have to do is read the news and you can find out that there is some type of disaster, some type of terrible tragedy going on somewhere. There's always things happening, right? And here in our own country, no sooner did we get over Hurricane Harvey and now the rebuilding process is going on, now we got another one coming in that's there today, and no one knows yet how much damage that will do. And I know there was a smaller one coming after that. I don't know if that one's going to make it or not, but I know some of the islands that went through, it totally destroyed the islands, killed a bunch of people, and it's been rough. And it's not just the weather, though, and, you know, the natural disasters like floods or earthquakes and things like that. It also happens, there's also tragedies and disasters that happen in our personal life, you know, and the lives of our friends and our families. And we hear about different things like we talked about today, sickness or disease or, you know, West Nile virus or other kind of things. And you know, sometimes it might even be death in the family or a loss of a job or broken relationship or financial hardship. I mean, there's always something going on either with us or someone close to us that affects us. It seems like, you know, we certainly have good days. We have great days. We have all kinds of wonderful days. But then it's punctuated by these little problems, these sometimes big problems, sometimes real tragedies. And it doesn't matter if we're young or old or rich or poor or a man or a woman. It doesn't matter who we are. No one is immune from the storms of life. So the question is, what are we supposed to do when we don't have the strength to pull ourselves out of this hole that we find ourselves in sometimes? Most of us, when we were little, all we had to do was run to mommy and daddy, right? And they could take care of anything. I remember, you know, when my kids were little and, you know, they would look up to me and no matter what it was, they thought I could take care of anything. And pretty much for their problems, I could. And, you know, they could just run into mommy and daddy's arms. And then we grow up and we become mommies and daddies ourselves and we realize that we really don't have the power to fix everything. It would be nice if we could, but we just can't. And then we need somewhere to turn when we get overwhelmed. Well, thankfully, there is a place that we can go, a place where we can get this help that we need when we're going through these storms or these trials, and where we can find refuge. And in Psalm 46:1, it says that God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In the midst of all that, God can still be our refuge and our strength. Mountains, I'm sure most of you have felt this way. I know when I see mountains, I think of like massive, powerful, big. I mean, that's where people would build fortresses and, you know, they would put their cannons, you know, during war. And they would always want to take the higher ground and the hills. And mountains, you know, everybody wanted to be on the mountaintop to sort of be above all the calamity and the trouble and things like that. But God is telling us that in this psalm that even if those mountains go crashing into the sea, the heart of the sea, even if the whole world falls apart, and everything comes crashing down, that we will still be safe because He is our refuge. We gotta really get a hold of this. You remember David, you know, Eddie's favorite? We all know that. David was the guy who, you know, killed a lion and bear and with his own hands, and he killed Goliath, cut off his head, and he was a mighty warrior. He was a king, and you know, he killed his thousands. They sang songs about him. But there were times when even David felt lonely and discouraged, hurt, depressed, and sometimes he was just overwhelmed, and he didn't know what to do. And so where did he go for help? Someone who was close to the heart of God. Who could help the mighty warrior David? Well, he wrote in Psalms chapter 31, verse 1 and 2, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me." David understood the power of God. He uses those same terms again, the mountain, the fortress, the refuge, a place where we can go to be safe, a place where we can go to be comforted. Over and over in the book of Psalms, we see the heart of a man who loved God. God described him as a man after his own heart. God loved David, but God loves you and me just as much. God loves you as much as He loved David. David knew that he could trust God, so he would run to Him whenever he had an issue, whenever times got rough, whenever there were problems, because he had a heart for God. He understood God. He understood God's power. He understood that God loved him. And we need to get into our head and into our heart that when God created us, He made us so that not one of us can face this world alone. That's the way God designed us. That's not a flaw in our character. God made us so that we need each other and that we need Him. You know, people that are alone, if you really truly cut off, when you put them in solitary confinement for long enough, they tend to go crazy. We weren't meant to live alone. I remember an experiment one time they did on little children. They wanted to see how kids would grow up without any human contact. And they had a bunch of infants, and they had them in a nursery, and they had zero human contact. You know what happened? They started dying. They had to stop the experiment because too many of them started dying. We all need a place of refuge. Every one of us does. On those days when we just can't handle it. Sometimes we say, "God, help me," but we don't really, really go after God. We just say the words. But God does want to help us. Unfortunately, so many people run after so many different things. All the things of the world, fame and fortune, all the different pleasures and the lusts of the world. And it doesn't matter what you get. In fact, the more you get of the things of the world, the less satisfied you will be. Only God can truly satisfy. That's how He made us. That's how God created us, to need Him and to need other brothers and sisters who also love Him. Way back in the Old Testament times, there used to be something called cities of refuge. There were six of them, and they were spread out all over the area there, all around the country. So, and they were designed so that people could get to them easily. The roads were 48 feet wide. They had to be smooth. They had to always get all the stumbling blocks off. They had to have signs at every turn, every intersection. There had to be signs there pointing the way. They were special cities designed to protect those who had killed someone accidentally or had been falsely charged. So they had all these cities of refuge, you know, six of them. And back in those days, if you killed someone, whether purposely or by accident, I mean, people weren't sure. They didn't know. And they had a rule or sort of a custom, I guess you could say, that the nearest relative would become the avenger of blood. And that avenger of blood could then legally hunt down that person and kill them. But if you made it safely to the city of refuge, you were safe until you had a trial. And if you were found innocent, you could live in that city. You'd have to stay there for the rest of your life or until the high priest died. But if you were found guilty, guess what? You were kicked out, and the avenger of death, of blood, could kill you. And why am I talking about this? I mean, it seems sort of strange in the middle of a message. How could that possibly relate to us? Well, in the Old Testament, God's laws always had a purpose. We call them types and shadows and things like that, but their purpose was always to point mankind, and especially God's people, in the right direction, towards the coming Messiah, toward Jesus. It was forward-looking. All the different things that were done to prepare people so that when they would recognize the Messiah when he came, and they could turn to him. So now, what has happened is that Jesus has become our city of refuge. All who flee to him will find mercy, for he is able to save. Romans 8:1 tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Jesus is an even more perfect place of refuge because he is able to save all who come to him, everyone who comes to him, not just the innocent. We know the truth. The truth is, none of us are innocent. We're all guilty of sin, every one of us. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have the law that tells us that because of sin, we have to die. And so the law is the avenger of blood that comes after us if we don't know Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the only way we can escape the law of sin and death is to enter the refuge that is offered to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus went on the cross. That's why his blood had to be shed on the cross. That's why we remember when we do communion. Because that blood, the blood of Jesus that was shed that day, paid the penalty for our sin. So Jesus, we find out then, is the most perfect refuge, the most perfect city of refuge, or place of refuge, that there ever was or could be. In him, there is no condemnation and death, as long as we are in him, in Christ. John 11:26, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die. So, here we are, we're talking about this place of refuge, and it's in Christ, he's our refuge. What do we find when we've entered, when we've really truly, now I want to really try to get this across today. It's not just knowledge, knowing about Jesus. We have to go after, really go after him and get into him, really learn about him. We have to, you know him and obey him. It's important that we take it seriously. And when we do, the benefits are amazing. Truly amazing. Once we are able to enter in this city, it's like you just won this billion-dollar lottery. And all of a sudden, the whole world opens up to you because you have all this money. But I don't want to compare it too much to that because we know that money is not what we're talking about. But in the world, that's what the world, the way they would look at it. If you had all the money in the world, you can have anything you want. Well, when we have Jesus, we have more than all the money in the world. We don't need all the money in the world when we have Christ. What we need is him. There's something else we have. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." When we enter into Christ as our refuge, we have access to every promise, every treasure, every good and perfect gift that comes down from our Father above, our Father in heaven, through Christ. So what I want to do is I want to look at a few of those promises. I'm not talking about cars and houses and things like that. Those aren't the kind of promises I'm talking about where we can go around claiming everything we want. That's not what this is about. This is about the things that God has for those who enter into the refuge of Jesus Christ, if we truly go to him. In this place of refuge, we'll find freedom from fear. Fear of death, fear of condemnation, fear of guilt, fear of shame, fear of being alone, fear of worthlessness. All these different fears that we struggle with all throughout our life. If you remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God's not afraid of anything. So if we are in Christ, if he is our refuge, then we then have no more fear. In him, the fear goes away when we learn to trust him. Another thing we find in the city of refuge is peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that we have in the midst of disasters, in the midst of trials, in the midst of storms, whether they're emotional, financial, physical, spiritual, hurricanes, whatever it might be. We can find peace in the midst of those kind of trials. A peace that comes from knowing and believing and trusting that God is in control. Sometimes it's hard to grab that, but it's real. God is in control. There's nothing that's going on that God is not aware of. He's still on the throne. He's still God. You're in good hands with God, much better than Allstate. And we find a peace because we know that he loves us and that he's working in our lives and working the very things that we go through, he's going to use them for our good. In Christ, our refuge, we also find joy. Joy is something that goes way beyond happiness. Happiness can come and go just like that. We can be the happiest person in the world and then all of a sudden we look in our rearview mirror and there's a blinking blue light. How happy are you then? We can be the happiest person in the world. We get a piece of mail at home that says delinquent notice. We can be the happiest person in the world and our best friend comes up and says something awful to us because they believe something wrong about us. It doesn't matter. There's a million things that could happen that could take our happiness away in an instant. But joy is something that's deeper. It's deep down inside. It's not something that's... It's like happiness is on top of the surface of the water. And it, you know, it moves real easy. But when you go down, down, down to the river, way down in there, it doesn't move like that. It's not affected. And when we are in the refuge of Jesus Christ, and that joy is deep down in us, it doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't change on a moment's notice. We have this joy that's lasting. There's joy in knowing that we're saved. There's joy in knowing that God loves us with an everlasting love, that we're precious in His sight, that we have worth, that we have value in His sight. When we really understand that and get hold of that, and when we know that God's in control of our life, there's a joy that's going on when we know that we've given Him control. In this place of refuge, we can find rest. Rest from striving, rest from running after things, you know, rest from searching and wondering and wandering and from stress, from all the burdens and the storms and the trials of life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, he's saying. Come into my refuge. Come to me, I will be your refuge, and I will give you rest. Once we can admit that we're not the boss, there's the problem right there. As far as, especially concerning rest. Because we always want to fix everything. We have to go to God and find out, what does He want? What is the right approach? How do we do this? When's the right timing? How can God work in this situation? And when we get a hold of God's plan, we can be at rest. In Christ our refuge, we find mercy. And we need mercy, I'll tell you, even when we deserve to be punished. You ever have those times when remember when you were a kid and you really did something bad? And you were scared to death you were going to get the belt, or back in my day we still had the belt. And I don't know if anybody gets that anymore, but we got punished and, you know, we got disciplined in one way or another. And then you did this terrible thing, and it was maybe one of the worst things you'd ever done. And then your dad or your mom is meeting with you and talking, and you're like amazed that they're not freaking out. And they just, for some reason, they seem to let it go. And you're wondering, like, for the next 6 months, when's the hammer going to fall? You're all sort of like on edge, you know? But somehow they determined to show mercy, and sometimes that mercy that we were given had more effect than the punishment. And God is a God of mercy. Even when we deserve to be punished, we have a merciful Savior. We have a merciful Savior. And in His mercy we find forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. See, that's the first part. We have to confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In this place of refuge, we find strength. Sometimes, you know, I read a scripture the other day, you know, about getting strength, you know, from God, and young men grow, you know, weary, but God will raise us up on eagle's wings. And I didn't go to that scripture this time, but in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. God gives us strength. In His presence, when we go to Him, when we come to Him as our refuge, He doesn't let us flounder. He doesn't, you know, not help us. He'll always help us, and He'll strengthen us. He'll give us resolve. He'll help us. Another thing we do is when we go to God, we receive comfort. When we go to that place of refuge, we receive comfort. And don't we need that sometimes? Sometimes we just need someone to comfort us. When we've gone through a terrible tragedy, sometimes we don't need a lesson. We don't need money. We don't need, you know, condemnation. All we need maybe is a hug or someone that just gives a little note of encouragement or an I love you, something like that. And in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." See, when we go to God as a place of refuge and we're hurting, God will comfort us. And then He teaches us how to comfort others. Because we all need comfort. We receive love, an all-surpassing love. I think we all know about love, so I'm not going to get into that. In fact, I got to sort of speed it up here, so I'm just going to name a couple more. Hope. We talked about hope just a couple weeks ago, a hope that does not disappoint, and a hope that's an anchor for our soul. That's what we, when we go to God, when we go to Him as our refuge, He'll give us hope. And He gives us so much more. He gives us our righteousness in Christ. Once again, only in Christ. We are not righteous in our flesh. But in Christ, we've been made righteous. He gives us protection. He gives us provisions. He gives us safety. And the list could go on and on and on and on. All the things that we can get hold of when we enter into this city of refuge. It's almost like we go through the gate and, you know, and there's shelves and shelves and, you know, what do you want? What do you need? This? Do you need this? What do you need? Because my God will supply all our needs. Every need you have. It doesn't matter. I may not have even come close to listing it, but you have needs. And your God wants to fill that need. He wants to be your refuge. The place where you go when you have that need. Another great thing that happens when we enter into this relationship with Jesus and He becomes our refuge is that we are joined together with other people in the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, "And God has placed all things under His feet," talking about Jesus, "and appointed Him to be the head over everything for what? For the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." You see, we are on this earth now. We are the body of Christ. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're His eyes. We're His mouth. We're His ears. We are His ambassadors. We are His spokesmen. We're the ones that show the world who Jesus is. So others can find their way into this place of refuge. So this church is a place of refuge. This is where God's love is shown. This is where God's love is walked out, is lived out, because this is God's house. And we're God's family. And we represent Him. We represent. Just like if He had been here, and now He's saying, "Well, I can't be there physically right now, but you can come out and show other people just how I am." So we represent or represent Him again. This is where relationships can be built that will last in eternity. This is the place where iron sharpens iron, and sometimes it does, right? Sometimes we cross, you know, paths with others. We get iron crosses, and the sparks are flying. But that's okay. Because in family, in your own family, you don't throw your son or daughter to the wolves or your parents or your sister or brother. I mean, unless they've totally flat out rebelled and rejected you, that's a whole different story. But I'm talking about people in relationship. We deal with those issues. Sometimes we got to come back and apologize. Sometimes we got to work it out. Sometimes we need help working it out. But this is the place where iron is sharpening iron, and we where we learn, that's how we learn to be more like Christ every day. We need something to rub off those rough edges and make us more like Christ. That's what happens when we enter into the house of refuge. The church is God's plan. You know that? This church, the church, is God's plan. Remember, Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is an organization that man dreamed up. God designed the church. And he called it the body of Christ. We are literally the representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. So if Jesus is our refuge, what does that tell us then? Now the church has become a place of refuge. And as imperfect as we are as human beings, God has chosen. He's chosen us. He's chosen to use us as a place of refuge for those who are turning away from a life that has no meaning, a life of emptiness and darkness. And believe me, we were all there at one time. And one time we were lost. We were without God, without hope, in darkness. That's what the Word says. Every one of us were sinners at one time. And there's still a lot of people out there like that. And like I said, even though we're not perfect, and I know we're far from perfect, any one of us, myself included, we are not perfect, but we have Christ. We have that refuge that we can go to comfort us in our imperfections, to show us, to teach us, to train us, the Word of God, to learn His Word, which is useful for training and correction. It's living and active. It's judging the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And if we push into that Word, which is how we get to know Christ, which is how we get to know our refuge, that Word will teach us. It will train us. As we are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in the truth, to walk in the life, to walk in the light. Because this flesh can't do it. We're not trying to, you know, like reform our flesh. Our flesh can't be reformed. All our flesh can do is be, you know, put to death, denied, subjugated, held down, beaten up. I mean, we got to do what we got to do to our flesh, so that the flesh isn't the boss. We've entered in to a place of refuge. We're here right now. This is a place of refuge. Jesus Christ is here right this moment, looking around at us and saying, yep, you're my body. You are my people. And I love you. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you, I'll comfort you, I'll bless you, I'll give you rest, I'll take away your fears and your doubts, I'll do all these things for you if you come to me. That's our Jesus. There's nobody like him. We're never alone. I will never leave you or forsake you, he said. I will be with you always, he said. Where two or three are gathered, there I will be in your midst, he said. And so now it's our job to reach out to those that we meet that are lost, who feel hopeless, who are afraid, who are run down, weary, who are being battered all over the place and beaten up by the storms of life. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus will be our place of refuge. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you can take care of us like nothing else. You are our place of refuge. Lord, any need we have, we know that you can meet all our needs. All our needs are met in Christ Jesus. You supply all our needs. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us to not worry about what shall we eat or what shall we wear or what shall we do, but to seek first your kingdom. And then all these things will be given to us. Lord, we put our trust and our hope in you, our refuge, our strength, in times of trouble, and even in times when things are going well. At all times, you're our place of refuge. Bless your people here, Lord God. Give us a heart and a mind and a perseverance to push in, to meet you, to come to you, so you can be our refuge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.